Calling all detectives. When an actor's life was insured for $500,000, somebody was tempted to play a scene with murder. That is the situation on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. Believe me, Jerry Browning. Double trouble is what a private detective can expect every day. When I walked into the private office of John Cooley, head of the investigations department of Consolidated Insurance, the little man's face looked as though he'd accidentally swallowed a grasshopper.
Stunts! Bah! Insurance policy is for publicity! Bah!
I sat down across from Cooley and waited. After a while...
Don't try so hard to look intelligent, Browning.
He pushed some papers across the desk at me.
Read those.
I glanced through the papers. An insurance policy for $500,000 on the life of Carlisle Brentwood, the actor. It was a limited liability policy, insuring Brentwood's life for the duration of a play called Fortune's Stepchildren. The beneficiary was listed as Howard Mercer, the play's producer. I pushed the papers back to Cooley. I wouldn't worry about this policy, Mr. Cooley. That play, Fortune's Stepchildren, is a smellaroo, according to the critics. It'll last 2 weeks. Cooley glared at me.
You're wrong as usual, Browning. The play has lasted exactly 5 days. Because this afternoon, Carlisle Brentwood fell down a flight of iron stairs and broke his neck.
I gulped. Oh, that's tough.
To use your own phraseology, Browning, it's $500,000 tough. Go to the Booth Theater and see if you can find any reason why Consolidated Insurance should not be $500,000 poorer.
A publicity policy on an actor's life for the duration of his play backfired when the actor died of a broken neck. At the Booth Theater, I had a talk with Howard Mercer, who was the producer of the play and the beneficiary under Brentwood's policy.
A terrible accident. I always warned Brentwood about those stairs.
I'd like to take a look at them, Mr. Mercer.
Sure. Follow me. These stairs lead up to the dressing rooms.
Which one of these was Brentwood's dressing room?
Why, none of them. Brentwood's room is downstairs on the main floor.
That's what I thought. A star's room generally is downstairs. What was he doing up here? Mercer shrugged.
I have no idea. And I'm afraid now we'll never find out.
I reported back to John Cooley. If it was murder, Mr. Cooley, it was very clever, because it was simple.
There are a few facts that make me suspect the possibility of murder.
Cooley put a pill in his mouth, swallowed it.
All right, prove it, and keep the expenses low.
I had a talk with George Kelly, the actor who played Brentwood's stepfather.
Only one thing puzzles me, Mr. Browning. Why Brentwood ever agreed to make Mercer his beneficiary, even on a policy for publicity?
You mean the two men didn't get along?
Brentwood detested Mercer. After the first few rehearsals, the two men didn't even talk to each other.
At Consolidated's general office, I found Norman Allison, the agent who'd written the $500,000 policy.
Mr. Browning, if I thought anything was wrong, I wouldn't have written the policy. Both Brentwood and Mercer were present when I filled out the application.
How did they act?
Like stage people, you know, very theatrical. It was on the stage of the theater just before opening night. I remember now. Brentwood even said something about his very good friend, Howard Mercer.
He did. Allison, somebody is lying. But that somebody wasn't Kelly, the actor. I talked with other members of the cast. All of them mentioned the feud between Brentwood and his producer. And when I saw Mercer again...
Look, Browning, I don't like the way you've been questioning people about me. Not only do I want that policy paid without further ado, but you'd better be careful, or you and your company may be facing a suit for slander.
I tried checking with the insurance doctor who'd examined Brentwood, discovered that on a limited liability policy, no examination had been considered necessary. Oh, fine. I grilled Allison, the agent, some more. Couldn't shake him from his firm conviction that Brentwood and Mercer had been excellent friends, at least while the policy application was being signed. That gave me another idea.
Mr. Browning, I can't tell you whether the signature of Carlyle Brentwood on this document is a forgery or not until I have some admittedly genuine handwriting samples to compare it with.
Mr. Pettibone, haven't the police given you such samples yet?
Nope. Brentwood was an eccentric, it seems. Kept his money in vaults, signed no papers of any kind, so far as we've been able to determine.
And that was that. Blocked at every turn by a man I was sure was a killer and who'd committed what looked like a carefully planned, boldly executed murder. Back at my own office, I sat down and did some of the hardest thinking of my life. The thing revolved around the policy application. It just didn't make sense that Brent would ever agree to it, or having agreed for some reason that he'd put on the big friendship act. But if that wasn't Brentwood, who was it? Allison looked at the photo in my hand.
Yes, that's Mr. Brentwood, the one who signed the application. He, looked just a shade heavier, it seems to me.
Thanks. I think you've solved it. At the Hollywood Central casting office, I showed the picture of Brentwood. I'm looking for a man who could be this man's double. They say Hollywood is full of doubles. Try to find this one for me. It didn't take long. About 3 hours.
I'm Tom Fenwick, Mr. Browning. I understand you have a part for me.
I stared at the face. The face of Carlyle Brentwood. A trifle fuller, the build a little heavier, but Carlyle Brentwood just the same.
Yeah, I've got a part for you, Mr. Fenwick. A part that you played once before as a double for Carlyle Brentwood.
Fenwick smiled.
Oh, yes, I was east then. Mr. Mercer wanted me to try out as an understudy for Brentwood. I even played a scene on stage, something about insurance. Mr. Mercer said I was so good it was a pity to waste me as an understudy, and he got me a small part in a picture out here. I've been doing fairly well.
You're coming back east with me, and I guarantee you'll tear the house down. We called Mercer into the consolidated office, presumably to get his check, and faced him with Fenwick. It was a great scene while it lasted, and its big climax came when Mercer tried to escape out the window. And that was all. A fantastic plot to kill a man whose life had first been insured via a stage double, who didn't know the difference between playing a scene and going through the real thing. Like I said, a detective has double trouble nearly every day. But it's a good thing he doesn't often have troubles with doubles.